instead of me talking a lot and getting out my reading glasses, I'd like the gentlemen who are going to talk and their small group leaders, so they don't have to come up here by themselves. I'll read the names. I have Sean Dolly and your small group leader. Looks like Wes Nugent, if I say that right. John Moya, Isaac Sanchez, Ezra, Robert Hernandez, and then Joe, Mario, and Dominic are coming with James, I think. And why I decided just to do this first is because these folks have discovered some new words, a new voice. A lot of you have too. I saw probably two-thirds of you standing up here last night. And part of the voice that you developed had to do with the vulnerability, a brokenness, tears that you probably didn't plan on sharing. But you see, in order for your voice to accurately represent the God you say you believe in, there are going to be times when he just breaks you in two, or in my case, he stripped great pieces of pride off me. And there is nothing enjoyable about that except the aftermath. Because you see, as we heard earlier, if my pride's in my way, my voice colors things my direction. I can manipulate my beautiful wife, my children, my friends. Pride causes me to do that, and there are times that I don't even know I'm doing it. This getting right comes with a challenge of staying right. Getting equipped comes with a challenge of staying equipped and having somebody to help you pull that off. And the third thing, getting going, keeping going. We're going to have times when we stumble around, when we screw up. And some of you heard a few weeks ago, sometimes my best days are characterized by I get up, I dress up, I show up, and God does the rest. There's nothing to brag about. He does it all, and he'll do it for you. If at 36 he can do this with me, and this wasn't part of my business plan, I just want you to think about what he'd like to do with you. And you see, the only thing that stands in the way is you really believing it. You really believing it. Young, old, middle, whatever. That right now, if you were to ask the question, what's God doing with my life? You know what the answer is all the time? Simply completing his plan. It doesn't matter if your face is in the dirt or you're on the mountaintop. He's about completing his plan. All you have to do is believe he's got one. He does. So Sean, why don't you come up, and Justin, and I'll stay out of the way.
Good morning, all. How y'all doing? All right. I'm going to share real quick what the Lord has touched my heart with. And through these messages, I really didn't understand that I was dealing with a pride issue in my heart. And God has led me to the understanding that I've vocaled a lot of my decisions, and I was always really controlling with some of my actions. And my heart was just not right. I didn't know that I was continuing in my walk with the Lord with this big pride issue of I'm a know-it-all. And through the messages of our wonderful teachers and guiders and our leaders of our small group, the Lord has laid it on my life and my heart that I need to be quick to listen, as in James says. And today I start with that, is to go down this hill and listen and to comfort with open hands, as Carrie has taught me, and not ready to fight and defend the word, and just to listen and comfort others. And that's what I leave with this week, and I hope it encourages you guys.
Thanks, Sean. Looks like Wes is next.
We're going to move over here because of the light.
Okay. Is there Lance? Are you on? You're not on my list. Okay, we'll get there. Then we'll do Lance last. Cool.
Good morning, brothers. Just wanted to say it was awesome to be out here. It's my first time. I'm a little nervous. I'm a new believer. And the Lord is awesome. That's all I can say. He's really blessed me in a lot of areas. And I've been talking to a lot of brothers, and it's like I realize that they say, oh, when you're a new believer, you're on fire. It's like, that fire just don't go out. You got to keep it fed. And the thing with keeping it fed is I realize that knowing God is not a chore. It's something you just come to. You know, you feel that love. It fills you up, and it's just so awesome. I had dreams before to, like, be, like, you know, like a lot of guys do, like nice cars, women. And I had a beautiful wife at one time, thought that she was the best woman that you could possibly have, had good jobs. And things were going right in my life, but it was just that I felt somebody was near me and calling out to me, putting a sign in front of me. And my sister called me one night and said, why don't you just turn to God? And I'm like, God, can't see him, you know. Sure enough, he's like, I'm right here. And he brought me to my knees and said, I love you. And I'm like, well, why do you love me? You know, I'm horrible. Come to me as you are. You don't have to fix yourself up. I'll fix you up. And I came, and I cried for months. I couldn't sleep for months. Stayed in my word. And he just let me know how much he loved me. And if I just encourage your brothers, it's awesome staying in your word, reaching out to your brothers. I have a lot of good brothers that always are there for me. I text them when I start getting broken down, and they always come to me with the word, and it lifts me up every time. But I'm just saying, my own account is, if the Lord can keep me fed and on fire, he can do it to anybody. You know what I mean? And just keep that fear on that fire with the word, reaching out to brothers, being good. Because faith without works is dead, and we all know that. You got to be out there reaching out. You see a brother that's down and out. You see somebody that's hurting. It's hard to break that ice, but just go up to them, tell them, you know, that Jesus loves them. And I just love all you brothers. God bless you all. Grace and peace.
Thanks, Wes.
John Moya.
Hey, John. How you doing? First of all, I want to say it's been an honor and a privilege to share this weekend with men whose hearts are after God's purpose for their life. For all the new believers, I congratulate you on making the best decision of your life. God's going to use you in ways that you never imagined to reach out to people, to plant seeds of hope in the lives of others. What God put in my heart was this message was about being equipped. This weekend was about becoming equipped. And it reminded me of King David. King David had an armor bearer whose name was Jonathan. And I want to thank all the pastors and leaders who were those armor bearers for us that equipped us to go out and be more than conquerors. And I also, what God put in my heart was, it's about his righteousness, not our failures. We have a tendency to become self-absorbed and focus on what we're not. But God sees the potential in each and every man in this room. He knew you when he formed you in the womb, and he has a purpose for your life. And I pray that God reveal that purpose for each one of you, and that you continue to grow, and like the brother was saying, feed the fire with the word, with prayer, and it's about consistency. And I thank you for the opportunity to stand up here and share a word with you. And I thank you for the people in the small group for your encouragement and your support. God bless you all.
Thanks, John.
Isaac. My name is Matt. I actually just got a new nickname, Isra. I'll tell you guys the story now. This is actually my first time at the retreat. I got a lot out of it. The one thing that really stuck out to me that I think God was trying to implant in my mind is that we need to share the word, the truth. So yesterday during the activity time, I went looking for the hiking groups, but I couldn't find any. So I decided to take up a hike by myself. I walked high up into the mountains, and I thought I was alone, and then I heard a man walking up, and I went to go say hello, greet myself. He was not from our retreat, but him and his wife actually came up here. He's a pastor out in Fort Worth, Texas, and we started talking, and after a while, he starts telling me, yeah, you seem like knowledgeable in the word. You seem like you know what you're talking about. You need to share it. Like, you could reach people that the church isn't reaching, the subculture that the church isn't reaching. That kind of stuck in my head. And later on that night, when we went to our small groups, and even through the Bible study, the speakers up there, they were talking about how we need to not isolate ourselves. And in the small group, Sam gave me the verse of Ezra 7:10, which says that Israel devoted his heart to studying and observing the law of the Lord and teaching its decrees. And he said to me, I don't really know you and so forth, but I'm going to give you that nickname, Israel. He's like, I can see in you. That's what you need to do. You need to study, observe this law, and teach it to people. So, I mean, that's what really stuck out to me through all this. I think the Lord's not only letting me know, but letting all of us know that he's bestowed his knowledge, his wisdom, his truth upon us, and we need not to isolate ourselves, but we need to get out there and just share it with people and let them know the wonders that God works. Thank you.
God bless you, brothers. My name is Robert Hernandez, and I'm a part of the Express Prayer Team at Calvary Chapel. Also, I'm a part of LifeQuest. Going into YDDC. I thank God for this weekend. It was totally awesome. You know what I mean? Get equipped, get right. But most of all, I came here to get healed. You know, I wanted a fresh anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. And that's what I got this weekend. Growing up a Catholic altar boy, I was a sexually abused Catholic altar boy. And, many have never met the sexually abused Catholic altar boy, although there are thousands of us. Los Angeles was the first altar boys in America to raise up and say, these men are touching us, they're hurting us. New Mexico was next, then it went nationwide, then it went worldwide. It's still happening to this day, and I thank God that he saved me. The altar boy that was with me committed suicide, he hung himself. And I said, I need to get right, get equipped, gird up my loins. You know what I mean? I need to reach out. And I thank God, because at one time I hated God. I hated church. You know, I was sent to prison at 18 years old, turned 19 and 20 behind walls here in New Mexico. And I said, God, if you're real, change me. If you're true, what you did for those prison ministers that came in to tell me about Jesus, do it for me, God. And I got out of prison in 1991, and I have never went back. Today I am a minister. Today I go into the jails. And I share the love of God. And I challenge all of you here. We have the answer. We have the answer. God can heal you. God can save you. He can keep you. 1 in 6 men have been sexually abused. 1 in 4 women. And it's probably higher than that because people won't talk about it. God can heal you. He can save you. He can set you free. Let him work in your life. God bless you, brothers.
Hi, my name is Isaac Sanchez. Last night, basically I got slapped in the face with the way I look at my wife with critical eyes. We have a wonderful relationship, but I was telling my small group, I come from a Hispanic background where the man is a machismo. You're in control, you tell your wife, and you know, you maybe don't show her the respect that she deserves behind the scenes. So I was sharing in my small group last night that was put on me. So after the class, I wanted to act upon it because earlier in the message, it said it's not about the books, the notes, and what you're doing, but it's putting that into action. So I got out, and I wanted to call my wife last night, and I tried, and she didn't answer the phone. So I get up this morning, and I'm frustrated because, you know, the emotion was there, and it was gone a little this morning, but I knew what I needed to do. So I tried calling her twice this morning and she does not answer. I go to breakfast and you know how it is when you call your spouse and they don't answer, your head starts going crazy. So out of breakfast, I finally got a hold of her and then I didn't want to tell her and I'm talking to her and I didn't want to tell her. So I started talking about last night. You know, I've never walked forward to anything. And last night I did. Not for anything, but the power of God and, you know, other men holding each other and backing each other was just unreal to me. The power in that. So I was telling her that, and it finally came out, and I said, look, I have something to tell you. I'm sorry that, you know, I criticize you when things go wrong in our family or with the kids. You know, I point the finger at you a lot, and I shouldn't do that, and I'm sorry for that. In saying that, it was a lot harder than on paper. It was a lot easier telling my men last night than to actually tell my wife, so... And I overheard another small group last night saying it's all good and easy here, but right when you guys walk in, you think it's going to be jolly when you leave today at your homes. But, you know, that reaction and opposite reaction, the devil will throw the darts at you today, man. I guarantee when you walk in your house, it won't be like you said. So, you know, remember this, the bonds I've made in my group, the prayers and lifting each other up, touched me. I didn't want to come this weekend. I came alone and I was blessed because of it. My roommates, my leaders were great. And thank you for the pastor, staff, and electronics and everything. Thank you, guys.
Come here, James. Hey, you got all three of you guys line up right here. We had, we were really blessed. So some of you guys know that one thing I'm involved with is ministry to going into the youth detention centers of New Mexico. It's called LifeQuest. And one of the facilities we've just started going into is a facility called the Albuquerque Reintegration Center, ARC, right near Calvary, just a couple miles away. And when we started thinking about the retreat, we thought, wow, wouldn't it be awesome if some of those young men could come to the men's retreat? And so Greg Nelson, who's here, one of the small group leaders, worked tirelessly. He works for the state system, and he worked tirelessly to make it happen. It did, and these three young men came up and participated in the retreat. And so we want to hear from them. This is James Clovis. He's one of our leaders. He's on staff at Calvary, and he's going to be going into that facility and working with these guys on a weekly basis. So I'm going to let James introduce them and hear a little bit from each of them.
Hey, man, how you guys doing? I had the privilege this weekend of seeing three young men come up here, kind of closed off, kind of to themselves, not sure what they were coming into. And I got to watch and see them over the 3 days after they gave their lives to the Lord on Friday night, how they opened up and they were set free. Amen. Amen. God is good. God is definitely good, and the change is amazing, and I'm looking forward to Bible studying with them over the weeks to come. And I've asked them to come up and share a little bit about what they learned and how they're going to apply it in their lives. This is Mr. Joe Campos.
Well, my name is Joe, and life's like so unpredictable. Like, choices you make in life can affect you in the long run. Like, when I was younger, like I was 8 years old, got in a car accident, lost two of my best friends, you know, due to drinking and driving. Almost lost my life too. That's whenever I should have snapped at God has me on this earth for a reason. But instead, I decided to live the life I shouldn't have been living, but I decided to keep going down that way. And I was going down the wrong road. I started breaking the law, and I knew, like, I knew it was wrong. Like, I felt someone talking to me, like I knew it was God, like saying, what are you doing? Like, you're better than this, you know, you don't deserve that. Like, but me, I used to drink alcohol and do drugs, and that's what made me ignore what that person was telling me in my head. So I just kept doing, I got ranked into a gang, and I just started living that, you know, they call it crazy life, and it ain't no life to live. And I just started screwing up my life, started ditching class, selling, just doing bad stuff, you know, that's all I can say. And just, I started getting locked up. At age 15, I get 2 years. And that's whenever God sent me to jail. Well, I sent myself to jail, I broke the law, but God, like, knows when I go to jail, I go to him. And, like, I have a relationship with them, and I still have a relationship with them, and it's getting stronger. But when I got out, I was doing good, but my relationship started falling apart because I didn't I stopped going to him. I stopped talking to him. Like, sometimes I'll look at myself in the mirror whenever I start backtracking on my old ways, and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, what's wrong with you? And just, I know, like, you know, you feel that guilt. And people tell me to go to church, but instead I start drinking again, and I go back to my old ways, and God knows how to get me back. So then that's when I go back to jail. And, you know, sitting in that jail cell, you know, locked up in a room, you know, you're trapped in that room, you feel like an animal, you know, you're doing the same stuff every day, you know, like, you look out your window, all you see is barbed wire, lights, you know, it sucks. Talking to your family over the phone, you know, just something's telling you that you're better than that, you know, like, you have something. God has you on this earth for a reason. I could have died when I was 8, but I know God has me on this earth for a reason. That's why, like, I wasn't going to come to this retreat. Like they said I could come, and something was telling me not to come. But then I talked to my friends, and they say, just go, you know? So I come, and this is like the best experience I've experienced in my life. And it felt good giving my life to God and repenting on my sins. And now it's time to go all the way. Like, I was talking to Rick about whenever I was too worried about the problems I have in life. Drug problems, lust problems, all these problems in life that I had and I still have. And I said, well, why don't I just go all the way to God and focus on God? And while I'm focusing on God, maybe that will, all those problems will wash away. Like, if you're too worried about the problems, then they're going to keep on feeding at you. But if you just focus on God, God is in control, and He's the one, He's the way, and the only way, and that's who I'm going to. And I just thank y'all for listening, and it's nice to be here.
Good morning, guys. My name is Denisio. I've always had a terrible anger problem, and with that anger problem, I've made a lot of poor choices in my life, and it's been hard for me to forgive others and accept responsibility for my actions. And I just I've caused a lot of hurt, and you know, I've, you know, just done a lot of, you know, things that I shouldn't. And after I had gotten out of YUDC, I went to the Albuquerque Reintegration Center, and like my buddy here, you know, it was, you know, we were chosen to come, you know, to this retreat, and while being here through here, you know, and accepting the Lord, you know, as my Savior, you know, I've been able to, think about all my past actions and all the people that I've hurt, and think about, you know, that, you know, I need to reconcile with them, and, you know, make amends and make peace in my heart. You know, I need to get this burden off of me. And those times when I was standing up here up front, I felt like a powerful presence, you know, and the powerful presence, you know, I felt like much lighter, and I felt like really happy inside. And I was talking to Mr. James, and we were talking about me making amends. And you know, it might take time, but you know, I believe that, you know, having faith in God, and you know, just over a duration of a period, you know, I'll be able to make amends with people that I've hurt. But what I really, you know, I really want to say that, you know, I appreciate everybody's support, and you guys having us here. Thank you.
Good morning, y'all. Well, my name is Mario Hernandez. And so far, I want to thank you guys for being, allowing me to come to this retreat. At first, it was hard. Friday night, it was really hard for me. I've been locked up for the last 6 years, so I'm kind of institutionalized. It's hard to be in front of a group of people like this. But since then, it's became way easier. All you guys are very friendly, who I've interacted with so far. Being here has helped me look at different perspectives. It's helped me open up more to people, learn how to trust a little bit more. I want to put all my, at first I didn't want to put no trust into God, but now I want to put all my trust into God. Certain topics have came up since I've been here that I haven't wanted to talk about, like my mom passing away. I haven't even thought about talking about it, but I've talked about it since I've been here. Past issues that, you know, I never thought I'd want to talk about, I've been talking about. And I just feel like, I feel like a totally different person now. I feel like as if I could do something with my life now. You know, I had plans before, I know what I wanted, but I had a little bit of doubt. But now, since being here, I know I could do it. I just want to thank you guys for giving me this chance to come to this retreat. Thank you.
James, let's pray for these guys. So here's the thing, guys. This is the beginning, and you guys know that the road ahead is not going to be easy. But what this represents is the reality. If you ever wondered if God was with you, this is the answer. This is His presence. This is the men who are behind you. And you are not walking alone. You have each other. You have James and the rest of us in Life Quest on a weekly basis. You have the entire body of Christ behind you to walk with you. And we want to pray for you. Father, we just pause briefly to pray for these young men. We're so excited about this new beginning. But we know, Lord, that this isn't the end. It's the beginning, and there is growth that must happen. And growth is painful. Growth is difficult. Growth takes work. And so I pray that these men would, as they've started, would continue in your word, in making right decisions. Lord, when they mess up, getting up, brushing themselves off, repenting, confessing, and continuing on. I pray they would utilize every resource, all of the men who are behind them and beside them. Lord, bless them. Watch over them and keep them in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, guys.
And last but not least, it looks like we got a father and two sons. Come on up here, right? Stand in the light if you're sweet. Sean.
You know, this story had to be told. Out of communication, I wasn't up there, but I said, you know, what God has done for us here, 18 years ago, I was privileged to serve on the Fellowship of Christian Athletes staff. I got to help do a camp at Northern Arizona University, Flagstaff. I met a young man who had hitchhiked all the way down from the reservation down to Phoenix and then back up to Flagstaff just to be at that camp. And, you know, I often wondered what happened to that young man, because all the way back home, I got to give him a ride part of the way back. We worshiped together. This was the most on fire young Native American man I had ever met in my life. And I said, you know what? He's going to go back and set that reservation on fire. And then I often wonder what happened to him. Well, we're sitting in our small group session, and as good as God is, we get to sit there and we start talking about that. And I said, I can't remember what the coach was, the famous coach and player that we had. He said, Lorenzo Romar. And I said, you were there? We figured out, this is him. This is Sean. Okay? He's had a few of his wanderings. He'll tell you a little bit about it. I hope he doesn't take all day, but because it's a real story, okay? And then he brings his sons, and we got to go play golf yesterday. It's been the most special time I've ever had. I hope so for them.
Thank you, John. Good morning, brothers. My name is Sean Curley, and this is my son Saul and Isaiah. And like John said, it was all God for even me to even be here this weekend. After that time, you know, I served God for a while, you know, was confused and, you know, had, you know, something happened that I really need to go into, but I turned from God. And like he said, I loved God. You know, I grew up without a father. My mom was a single mom, and, you know, she had five kids. And you know, I was pretty much raising myself at that time. And I had a college scholarship, and I went to college. And after my freshman year, went to help out at NAU. But still, times were hard. So, you know, I came home to the reservation, and I had a fire for God to just to learn about him. And so, like you said, I hitchhiked out there. You know, and my road went my way, though. You know, I'm in the step-by-step class at Calvary. I just joined it, and, you know, I'm learning, you know, about man's way and God's way. And I went my way, you know, and in the process, I met their mom, Jennifer, and Saul was born, you know, and I quit college. You know, I left. I was going to school at Evangel University in Springfield, Missouri, and just because I didn't want to, you know, I knew how it felt, you know, to learn stuff, you know, from a TV. You know, I learned how to play basketball from watching Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, you know, and I my life went recently, you know, I got divorced 6 years ago, and, you know, my life started to spiral downward. You know, I was in and out of jail for fighting and just different things. And, you know, I put these guys through so much that, you know, my brother passed away 3 years ago. He got hit by a train, and he was like my only family member, you know. My mom lives in North Carolina, you know. My sisters have their own family, you know. We're all alone in Albuquerque, you know. And John's like, you have brothers now, you know. These are your brothers, you know. And I feel that, you know. And I'm so grateful, you know, that you guys, you know, make a stand for God. And, you know, all the, you know, the things you do that are unseen, you know. So, you know, it got worse, you know, ever since my brother passed away. You know, I drank and smoked marijuana every day from that point on. Every day I pretty much drank and smoked. I couldn't believe. I'm a contractor, you know, I couldn't believe that I still kept afloat working-wise. We were talking about it last night. It was unbelievable, but it was God, because I told my sons, because God loved you guys, you know what I mean? Even though I was doing wrong, he made sure that you guys still were provided for. My ex-wife moved to California, and she was struggling. She got remarried, you know. It was just us. It was just. And we have a. I have another younger son, but he didn't make the age limit, so his name's Elijah. And we were just, you know, we plugged along, you know, however I could. And just recently, you know, my anger and my selfishness, and I had no peace, no joy. No love, you know, I had no dignity. I had let myself go, stopped training, just put on 40 pounds, you know, I was killing myself, I guess, you know, and I was verbally and physically abusive with my sons, you know. Thank God my ex-wife recently just had gone back to the Lord, and she's an officer with Valencia County, and so, you know, got to the point where these guys left, you know, on July 4th, they, you know, I hadn't talked to them from July 4th until just like a couple weeks ago. And I was just like, I was broken. I was ready to kill myself. You know, I was sitting there in my house that was empty now, you know, besides my inside, my house was empty. I only had my two dogs, and, you know, I was, you know, and I saw my little son's eyes, Elijah, you know, that night, and I was ready to do it, you know. You know, I just saw blood all over the living room, and I just, you know, I couldn't leave them fatherless, even though they already were fatherless at that point.
So I prayed. I mean, like you said, I knew God. I loved God. I had so much shame, you know, embarrassment. You know, I had been on mission journeys and I had done, you know, God had, you know, I was just a servant, you know. I used to mop and sweep my church, you know, that I grew up in. And it was embarrassing, you know, but I didn't think he could come back and save me again or whatever, you know. So I prayed, and that's when I went to church. You know, I went to Calvary. My partner in my business, you know, he's a saved, born-again Christian, and he come out of prison. And, you know, it's like, you know, Sean, I think you need to go to a step-by-step class, you know, it's starting on the 15th, you know. So I signed up. You know, I'm still battling myself, though, you know, for the first two classes, you know, and I find just, you know, and then that's when I told their mom, I was like, hey, Jen, you know, I signed up. I want to go to this men's retreat, you know, and I just, you know, and everyone knows, you know, Sean, you know, oh, is he for real, you know, is he going to go back, you know, when he's in trouble, he goes to God, you know, and I was just like, so I asked her, I was like, you know, do you think maybe if, you know, Saul is the main one, you know, I've had, you know, I'm tough on these guys, you know, I just was wrong. It was my way of teaching him, and my way wasn't loving, you know what I mean? It was disciplinary style. And you know, and I was like, you know, do you think you can ask Saul if you want to go with me, you know, I'll pay for him, you know? And I was like, and I showed him the thing, and he's like, oh, climbing, you know, or paintball, you know, a zip line, you know. Yeah, everything, yeah, exactly, everything that, yeah, and God has something else for us here, you know what I mean, and he goes to Bataan Military Academy, and, you know, he's a man of God, you know, I look up to this young man, you know, and I told him, you know, and I was just like, you know, and he wanted to go, and then Isaiah, I've heard him too, you know, and you know, and him and, you know, it's, I want to be, like, patient, you know, and loving and humble towards him. And I was like, you know, I don't want to force him. You know, my ex-wife's like, well, you know, I can't force them to be with you. I can't force them to love you. And I was like, okay, I understand, you know. But I had the love of God, so I was peaceful, even though I was at home alone with my two dogs, you know. And then he was like, yeah, you know, I'll go, Dad. You know, and out here, Saul on the first night, you know, the preaching that Pastor Skip, you know, and like I say, he's an upstanding citizen in our community, you know, and I was like, and he got up and came up, you know, and he was like that. I was like Simon, you know, everyone knew on the outside I was good, but I was pretending sometimes in certain areas, you know. So he led the way, and I told Isaiah, let's go up with him, you know, and, you know, I rededicated my life, you know, to this weekend too, you know, and I was just excited, you know, for everything. Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it.